Well, how many of you got scared when you saw me grab a cup of coffee this morning? And I have my own coffee maker up here. Wow, we're in for it this morning, aren't we? Goodness gracious. Where's Deb Corey at? Because, like, she'd freak out right now if she saw me with a cup of coffee on the stage here, you know, getting ready to drink it. And so, you know, it's interesting. How many of you guys are enjoying this Names of God sermon series that we've started? There's like some power in that, right? There's not only are we getting some education, but we are experiencing the true power of God. How many of you all appreciated Pastor Wendy last week? Yeah, amen. Amen. I even texted her about it and said she did a good job. For those of you who were, though, did hear her say she only preached 17 minutes, that's not true. She did preach 31 minutes. Amen. Amen. And I didn't even count her altar time yet. So, you know, I was like, wow, this is crazy. Well, we're going to keep going this week. We're going to continue on with that Names of God series and learning about really what that, when we talk about that, it's really learning about the characteristics of God. Isn't that really what we want to know, right? You want to know who you serve. You want to know who you can go to. The word says, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower and though you can run to it. Well, what are you running to, right? What are you running to? And so today we're going to examine one of the names of God today. It's two words. It's called El Olam, the everlasting God. Now, I know that might not be exactly the best pronunciation or enunciation, but I am from Southeast Iowa, right? So we're gonna go right into it. How many of you have experienced this, that things are not, they don't last as long as they used to? Anybody notice that? I mean, seriously, right? I mean, my in-laws are using the same stove from like, that's older than they've been married. You know, they've been married like 50 some odd years. Their stove is like 60 years old. But I've noticed that these things don't last as long. And that brings me to my friend here, my wonderful coffee maker. You know, this amazing, life-giving, anybody notice that life-giving, especially at about 6 o'clock in the morning? It's pretty life-giving machine here. And I bought this thing about 10 months ago. And I was pretty excited about it. I was pretty stoked. I was like, okay, Heidi, we got to buy this thing. This is going to change our lives. It's going to change my life. And because Heidi quit drinking coffee. She went to this, I don't know, foo-foo, mushroomy drink thing. I don't know what the heck it is. But I got tired of making this big pot of coffee and just myself. So I was like, hey, I got to get this thing, man. It's got this, you know, I put the little pot in there, and I was really excited. And can I be honest? It wasn't cheap. And I was like, okay, this is going to be amazing. Within 6 months, there's a reason why the coffee pot is sitting here today. It no longer works. 6 months. Within 3 months, we do all the little things. You clean it. They do it the way they tell you to do it. We bought this. Man, that stuff was expensive, wasn't it, babe? All this stuff to clean it. And it starts spraying coffee out the sides. And then at one point, and every week, every morning, my wife would, after she would, you know, come downstairs to, because she always comes down after me to our offices, and she's like, dude, what did you do? Just spill it all over the side of the wall or what? You know, and I'm like, no, you know, and every morning. And then it became to the point where, how many of you know, I was drinking more grounds than I was actual coffee. Anybody like grounds in their coffee? I'm not a big grounds guy in their coffee. I'm not a Turkish coffee kind of guy. Not at all. I hate that. So here I am with this now very, very expensive, underperforming, broken coffee pot. Now, let me tell you guys what I'm drinking my coffee out of now. My Mr. Reliable, Mr. Coffee, simple coffee pot. So not cool. So not cool. I hide it back in the corner so nobody can see it because it's just not cool. Because the reality is, things just aren't made to last. You know, it's really frustrating. When we went to, a lot of you know, we went to Rome this last late September. And one of the things that we got to see, Wendy, you might remember this. We saw a house that was over 2,000 years old. And I was like, that's pretty cool. But the reality is the thing was falling down. And they'd done lots of little work around it to kind of make it look like it was still standing. But the thing was, it wasn't lasting. I saw buildings all over that were old and they were supposedly standing, but everything had been restored. Nothing lasts, right? Everything has this expiration date on it. Here's the reality. No matter how well some of these things are built, how many of you know that nothing's built to last forever? Right? Nothing is built to last forever. And it's just really interesting because we've got a world that's built on trends and we've got a world that's built on temporary things. And the world's fickle. Anybody notice that? The world is fickle. The interests of people, they change continually. Anybody notice that? Now, my brother was like the king of this. And if he's watching, I'm sorry, Corey. The kid, like his interest, one minute he was a dirt bat, professional motorcycle, dirt bike racer, right? Everything went into that. Within 6 months, he was a golfer. And then he was going to play professional football, but he was only about 5'5". That doesn't work. And he was going to be a baseball player, right? And all of these things, we kind of get these, the world is fickle. We change from minute to minute to minute. And we're constantly in this way of nothing is lasting. Because here's the thing, if you don't like a trend, just wait a few minutes, kind of like the weather, right? It will change. It will change. At some point, Connor, that cool hair of yours will not be as cool. It will go back to being called just a mullet, right? I mean, that's the truth of it. It'll be bald, it'll be cool again, I promise. Honestly, we live in this world that's built on temporary things. And it leads us to this question of whether things can be forever. Can anything be forever? Is anything lasting? And that's really the heart of what it is. Because here's the analogy I have for you. We are longing for the everlasting gobstopper. Anybody remember from Willy Wonka? The everlasting gobstopper. Because we want that thing that never loses flavor, that thing that never goes away. But instead, we've got a world that's full of Bazooka Joe gum. Anybody have Bazooka Joe gum? Flavor lasts less about the time you can take to get get the hardness out of the gum, right? It's gone. And we're left with this longing. Because here's the truth of it, church. We were built for the everlasting. We were built for eternity. We were built with that mindset. We desire that which will not change. How many of you all like change? Emma, there's always one, right? We're built to desire the everlasting. We're built for the eternal, even though our bodies aren't. Our souls, they're built for the everlasting, the eternity of life. We hunger as a people for stability. How many of you like stable? Right? I always tell people I could never be a salesman because I like to know how much my paycheck's going to be every week, right, or every month. I couldn't handle that. I long for that stability. But today, as we begin to look at these names of God, we get introduced to the characteristic of God, the fulfillment of that longing in our hearts for stability, for the eternal, for the never changing. We get introduced to the everlasting God. There's no change in Him. There's no ending. It's pretty amazing. And in the Hebrew language, it was El, the Lord, Olam, everlasting. Olam was listed over 400 times in the Bible. Tells you it might be important, right? Everlasting is important. It's important to understand this portion of His characteristic because it tells us that He's never changing. He's never moving. I mean, here's the reality, guys. People come and people go, right? Have you ever noticed that? I look around today, even in the church service, and I think some people have come and some people have gone. And what we long for is that that never leaves. So when we look at El Olam, the everlasting God, we can look at some characteristics. Some characteristics that should assure us, that should drive us to him. We're going to look today at his faithfulness, his loving kindness, his power, his righteousness, and his ways. I don't know about you guys, but when I read those list of characteristics, the eternal, I said ways, but eternal, they just evoke something in me. Like, I want that. Right? Who wants unfaithful in their life? You think about a marriage. Would you want an unfaithful spouse? I want faithful. I want that which is made to last. And that's really what God's revealing to us here today. So let's look at Psalms 90, verses 1 and 2. And we begin to see a little bit of God, El Olam, and his faithfulness. It says, Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave birth to the earth and the world, from the beginning to end, you are God. Then we're going to flip over to Psalms 48:14. It says, for that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever, and he will guide us until we die. Well, that's what I long for. My heart longs for that which doesn't change, that which is steady, that which is powerful. And that's what we're going to talk about today. That's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at El Olam, the lasting God, everlasting. Let's pray. So, Father, I thank you today for this time. God, I thank you that we can come before you this morning, the everlasting God, knowing that you won't leave, that you won't run, that you won't hide, that you are there to be found, and we can count on that. So, Father, I just pray that you would have your way in this service today. God, let our hearts be open to hearing the call that you have placed upon us today. Lord, let me be just a vessel that your words flow through. We just praise you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. So this lesson's kind of partial teaching, a little bit of preaching, and that's kind of my style, right? So we're going to kind of talk about these five characteristics. And I know every good pastor goes to Bible college and they say just 3 points, right, Pastor Morris? 3 points. We're going to have five. I'm sorry. It's the best I could do. Because I got to tell you, God's so awesome, right? He just has so many good things about him. And so we're going to talk about these things today. So let's kind of jump in here. The first characteristic I talked about was the faithfulness of the everlasting, right? When we look at the faithful of the everlasting, and I started to kind of think about that. And what does that look like? What does that mean, right? What does the faithfulness look like? And I wanted to start with the first term that came to my head, and it came quick, that he is a promise keeper. Now, we sing that song, and it evokes a lot of emotion out of us, right? But let's talk about what it means to be a promise keeper. In a world where it seems like promises are meant to be broken, right? Divorce rate is almost 50%, right? Politicians, their promises are about as good as you can throw the politician, probably, right? I mean, promises in this world just, they don't mean much. We long for a promise that's true. How many of you want, when somebody gives you their word for that promise, they want it to be kept? You want it to be kept, right? And so the first thing we know about that is that God is a promise keeper. We long for that. We want his word to stand for exactly what it is. And that's what he's telling us in this, is that he is true to his word. His promise is good. How many of you worry about people and their promises? If you work anywhere right now, or maybe even if you're retired, How many worry about the check coming through every month? Right? We live in an unstable place. If you're retired, people keep talking about Social Security checks. Right? We long for that security and of that promise. And we're just constantly worried. Yet God here, we get this assurance that he keeps his promise. Because we know that he stands by his word. Out of Psalms 146:6, he said, he made the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He keeps every promise forever. See, because he's a God that cannot lie. If he cannot lie, when he says it, that's a promise you can take to the bank. That you can count on him and what he says. Well, the second part of that is God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 tells us, God is not a man. How many of you are glad of that? So he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried through? I'm going to tell you, I've almost 50 years on this earth now. I can stand by this scripture. And there's never been a promise that he hasn't kept. He's never changed his mind. You know, the nice thing about being someone who doesn't lie and a promise keeper, that also means that he doesn't give up on you. Sometimes he probably should have given up on me. But because of his character, because he's the everlasting, he cannot give up on me. About that. That leads us to the next part, that God will not leave because he's eternal and he's faithful. I simplified that in this note here. It says, God will not leave you. How many of you have all had that happen? Someone's left you. Someone's passed away. Someone ran away. Somehow or another, someone left. But here's the amazing thing, is that the everlasting never leaves. Never leaves. Some of you are sitting here today and you're dealing with broken hearts and you're dealing with these broken lives of people who've left, whether it be because they wanted to, maybe they didn't want to, and you've been scarred by the fact that people have left you. But this is the amazing part, is that the everlasting, the eternal one, never leaves. That's a guarantee on his part. God's not fickle like people, and he doesn't leave when the going gets tough. Hebrews 6:17 tells us this. It says, God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So when he makes that covenant with you that we talked about today in Corinthians 11, where it says, 1 Corinthians 11, where he says, God made that eternal covenant with us through Jesus Christ's blood. Oh, he's bound. He doesn't change his mind. He's bound to that peace. And he will never change. Because of Jesus, because of that covenant, because of that eternal nature, he's provided us a way that we would never have to be separated from him or his character or his promises. He's not going to skip out on you guys, tell you he's going to get milk and never come back. If he said he's going to get milk, he's going to get the milk and bring it right back. God's so true to his word. Get this. God's so true to his word that he would give Jesus, his only son, to die for you. That's how dedicated he is to his word. I've said this before from this pulpit, that if any of you ask me to give my son for you, go jump in a lake. It ain't happening. But God, because he's so eternal, because he's promises are everlasting. He would give his son for your sin. And some of us have got a lot of sin, don't we? He makes this path for us so that we could choose his faithfulness over the temporal things of the world. And then we could experience him and this promise of eternal life. Because he's everlasting, he wants us to be with him in the everlasting. That's his promise to us. That leads us to the next point. The everlasting kindness, the loving kindness, if you will, a love that knows no bounds of El Olam. Jeremiah 31:3 tells us this. It says, long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With an unfailing love, I have drawn you to myself. When he grafted us in, oh, we got that promise. We are the recipients of that promise. God's love for us is motivated by his overwhelming love that has no bounds. I go back to it. I'm going to keep going back to it all throughout this message. This, the no bounds, because he was so much loved you. His kindness was so turned towards you that he would give up his son for you. For each and every one of you. Because God sees you as an individual. That allows him, in his kindness, to leave the 99. How many of you love that verse? Because I've been the one. It allows him to come after you. And that means that nothing can separate us from his love. It's based on his kindness. How about this? He's the giver of good gifts. How many of you love a good gift? Not a crappy coffee maker. None of you bring me one of these. I'll stick with my Mr. Coffee. Matthew 7 tells us that he's the giver of good gifts. But what do gifts originate out of, guys? They originate out of kindness, don't they? How many of you give a good gift because you don't like somebody? Not me. I got to tell you, there was a person this year that I did not put much thought into my gift. And it wasn't out of kindness. It was because it was laying around. Being honest, I'm not even going to lie. Yet the scripture tells us that we have to ask for this gift. Right? We have to ask. God longs to demonstrate his love for us through this and his kindness towards us and give us good gifts, which equips us for all that comes for us, all that comes towards us, all of those different things that happens. You know, today Kelton's sharing about the anxiety that he feels. But you know what? He's equipped. How about that? The eternal God equipped him with a good gift, which meant that he could go to his word, that he could go in his devotion, he could go in his worship, and God could release him from that anxiety. How about this? Some of you need to hear this. God chose you to be the recipient of his kindness. I'm not talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about you, Connor. I'm talking about you. God chose you to shower his kindness on. Deuteronomy 4:37 tells us this. It says, because he loved your ancestors, he chose to bless the descendants, and he personally brought you out of Egypt with a great display of power. He drove out nations far greater than you so you could bring you in and give you their land as a special possession as it is today. See, that sounds all kind of like history, right? But that's kind of the cool part, too, about this message. Because he did it then, he does it now. Because he chose you. Because he loved you. God doesn't bring you out of this own personal slavery. Some of you have been bound to things forever. He doesn't bring you out of it just to leave you there. He's everlasting, and his promises that he made yesterday are still the same and are still relevant and they're still applicable today. This might be my favorite part. His kindness saves us. We're undeserving, probably, really, of his kindness, because we're all sinners, each and every one of us. Not one of us is good. We might do good things, but all of us have sinned, haven't we? Every one of us. But this was encouraging to me. Psalms 103, verses 8 through 17 tells us, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." That sounds like kindness. "He will not constantly accuse us, nor remain angry forever. He does not punish us for all of our sins. He does not deal harshly with us as we deserve. For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far as from the east is from the west. The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who fear him. He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust. Our days on earth are like grass. Like wildflowers, we bloom and die. The winds blow and we are gone, and though we have never been there. But the Lord, love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. His salvation extends to his children, to the children's children." Because of Elohim's kindness, he has chosen to forget our sins because he gave Jesus as a payment for your sin. That's kindness, isn't it? That's true kindness in the character of the everlasting. How about this? He's powerful. Elohim is omnipotent. There's my big word for you guys today. Omnipotent. Anybody, I hope somebody knows what that means. These are big words, but what does it mean? It means having unlimited power, able to do anything. How many of y'all like all power? I want somebody behind me that's powerful. I want somebody that I can run to that's powerful. Let's think about this for a minute. Let's just think about it for just a minute here. God can do all things, and all we have to do is look around to see the power at his hands. So let's take a moment. It's a day of remembrance, right? Look at the building we're standing in today. Well, God's powerful, isn't he? I want you to think about the history of your life. Think about some of the things he's brought you out of. Some of the things that he's brought you into. That's powerful, isn't it? Some of you have got some amazing stories of where God's power has brought you directly out of. So let me ask you this. If he's everlasting and he's powerful and unchanging, why would his power be any different today than yesterday or for the future? Would it be any different? Because he's everlasting. In that everlasting is that power. Nothing. This is what some of you need to hear, because some of you are dealing with some stuff in your lives. You're having a hard time. Nothing can stand against the power of God. How about that? Not cancer, not finances, not sickness, not people, but nothing can stand against the power of God. In Job, we read about this in Job 38. It says, "Who kept the sea inside its boundaries as it burst from the womb, and I clothed it with clouds and wrapped it in thick darkness? For I locked it behind barred gates, limiting its shores. I said, this far and no farther will you come. Here your proud waves must stop." That's power. For the first time in my life, I've gotten to go to the ocean a couple of times over the last few years. And it seems like nothing could ever stop it, right? But yet here God says, nope, this is where you stop. This is where you end. That's the same God who we serve. The same God who spoke in front of the Red Sea and said, part. It's the same God who's healed many of you in this church. He's the same God who's provided for many of you in this church. Because there's no power, whether nature or man-made, that can come against the power and the authority of the everlasting. I was thinking about this story this week, about when Jesus told the waves to stop. The power that came from within that. And how the disciples began to be amazed, and they began to come into contact with who they knew at that moment was the Savior, who was God. But I started to think about, yeah, that's cool. But then I began to think about the waves in some of our lives. Because it's not just a story. Some of us need some peace and some calmness in the storm that's going on in our lives right now. But yet we've got to reach out to the everlasting one, the one who calmed the waves all the way back on the Sea of Galilee, to calm the storms right here in our lives. He has power over the entire earth. Daniel 2 and 21. Some of us, we get this confusion. Maybe I better preface this. How many of you feel like sometimes the world's a little bit out of control? I mean, all you got to do is watch the news today and you feel like everything's just kind of spinning, right? Like, I mean, I don't know what your preferences are and your political thoughts, but it just feels like there's a bunch of knuckleheads running around out there right now. Right? It really does. But get this. This is what Daniel 2:21 says. When Nebuchadnezzar is in charge and the Jews have been taken out of Israel, and this is what it says. It says, he controls the course of world events and he removes kings and he sets up other kings. He's in charge of all of it. Some of you got all this anxiety about where the world's going today. I can give you great assurance that the everlasting has control over it all. Every little bit of it. We can rest in this power, in the everlasting, knowing that he has control over all the world's events and that nothing can be accomplished that he doesn't have power over. El Olam, the everlasting one, he's righteous. He's righteous in a world that longs for justice. Seems like the world's a little short sometimes on justice, doesn't it? We live in a world that longs to be set right. I'll tell you my favorite book character. A lot of you know I like to read. My favorite book character in all of my life, and I'm probably ashamed to admit this. Anybody read the Jack Reacher series? I love the Jack Reacher series. And let me tell you why I like it. Not because he's cool and he beats people up. But I like it because here's what I like about the character. Even most of you know my dog's even named Reacher. That's how much I love the character. I love that the character is always about justice. Because my heart longs for justice, right? I long for someone who would set what's wrong and make it right. I want someone who's moral. Because that's what my heart longs for, is morality. My heart longs for someone who stands against evil. That's our nature. Our hearts long for that justice. And here's the thing. His justice is everlasting. And God, we get to see all of these characteristics, this justice, this morality, this stance against evil. We get to see that all embodied in Jesus. We get that in the everlasting. No matter how good we want to be or we think we are, or we are our own form of righteousness, guys, our own form of being right is never enough. It's never going to be good enough in comparison to God and his perfection. Isaiah 64, 4, 6 tells us this. It says, "For since the world began, no ear has heard and no eye has seen a God like you, who works for those who wait for him. You welcome those who gladly do good and follow godly ways. But you have been very angry with us. For we are not godly, we are constant sinners. How can people like us be saved? We're infected and impure with sin, and when we display our righteous deeds, they are nothing but filthy rags. Like autumn leaves, we wither and fall, and our sins sweep us away in the wind." We think we're good, we want good, but it's never good enough in ourselves. So we've all thought, if we can say, "Well, I'm good, I'm a good person," all of you have thought some things like this. We've thought something we shouldn't have. We've said something we shouldn't have. We did something we shouldn't have. And some of us, we do these things even without even thinking about it because it's just part of our fleshly nature, right? Driving down the road the other day, and dude pulls out in front of me, and let me tell you, man, in my mind, I was like, this dude needs to go to the, you know, we need to like put him in jail forever, and that's probably the nicest thought I had at that moment about him, right? I didn't say it, but I sure was thinking it. They weren't very righteous thoughts. Paul, he said that he did things that he didn't want to do, and the things that he should do, he didn't do. Anybody identify with that? Yep. Here's the reality, guys, that none of us is God. Not one of us. None of us are as good as him. None of us is as righteous as him. But I got really good news about that because he's everlasting. He's decided to extend his righteousness to each and every one of us. He did it through the gift of his son, Jesus, who paid the ultimate price for your sins. He died. He didn't just die. The Lord died a horrible death, hanging from a cross with nails ripping through his hands and his feet, suffocating to death. But here's the cool part about it. When we choose to accept Jesus into our lives and we take that gift of kindness that he gave through his son, it represents God's righteousness in our lives. It extends to us. And what happens is God sees the reflection of his son, that blood that covers our sins. He sees that instead of me and my rough thoughts about people pulling out in front of me. He begins to see his only son in my place, who stood in my place for that sin. It's the only way, guys, that our lack of perfection, our impurity, can be accepted into his presence of eternity. Because I got to tell you, I want to be with the everlasting for eternity. He chose you to extend that to, so that you could have that everlasting, eternal life with him. His ways are meant to last. How about that? They're not like my crappy coffee maker. It doesn't last. God's ways were meant to be the same from the start to the last. Revelations 1:8 tells us, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end," says the Lord God. "I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still come to come, the Almighty One." Here's what's some really good news. Not only is he the beginning, but he's the end, and he's in the middle of all of that because he's everlasting. He's like the old Energizer bunnies. You guys remember that, those commercials? He's always. He's the great guarantee. Because the everlasting, when he gives his word, it is the guarantee. All of these scriptures that I read you today, which all speak for themselves, are his guarantee. How many of y'all like a guarantee? Back to my illustration today. I filled out the registration for this, Don. You and I were talking. I didn't want to reveal my sermon today. When Don saw my coffee maker, he said, "What? Go take that back." I filled out my registration, and you guess what? The guarantee ended after about 3 months. But see, God's word is his guarantee that he will not change. Hebrews, it promises that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That gift is the same as it was that day. His ways, guys, are meant to be eternal and not temporal. That's why our hearts long for them so much. It's why we long for something more. We long for that eternity because that's what we were built for. God's original plan for us from the very beginning was an eternal plan to be spent with him. That's why our hearts long for that so much. And let me tell you about his greatest desire. His greatest desire is for us to spend eternity with him because he's everlasting and he's eternal. And he doesn't want to be separated from you. Some of you need to hear that. He doesn't want to be separated from you. And that's why he gave his son. So let's cover this. El Olam, the everlasting, and the characteristics that he demonstrates in that is he's faithful. Oh, hear me today, people. He's faithful. He's a promise keeper. He cannot lie. What he says he will do, he does. How about this? He never leaves. His kindness is based in his love for you. His love, it knows no bounds. Some of us are human and our love knows bounds, but his knows no bounds. He gives good gifts. He's chosen you. And in his kindness, he's provided an opportunity for salvation through his son Jesus. Some of you need to know that he's powerful. You're facing some pretty horrible things. But let me assure you that nothing can stand against the power of God. Not one thing. He's righteous because his justice is true. And he gives the opportunity to extend that righteousness to each and every one of us through Jesus because we could never be good enough. Never. Finally, his ways are everlasting. His ways are guaranteed. And finally, he'll never leave you. Never, ever. I told you this was probably more teaching than anything today. So I'm going to ask you each to just bow your head as we wrap it up. But I do have to ask one thing, because there might be one person here today who needs to experience the salvation that the everlasting provides. You are in a spot where you need the everlasting God to come into your life for the first time, maybe the 20th time, I don't know. But you need him to come into your life to make you whole so that you can live in eternity with him. If that's you, just raise your hand. today, we're just going to, I'm going to pray over you. Father, I just thank you for each and every one of these people. God, who have got the opportunity to experience you, the everlasting God, the God who never changes, the God with no expiration date, whose word is guaranteed, who's all-powerful, who's faithful, who's kind, whose ways are right and full of justice. God, I pray that you would show your characteristics this week to each and every one of your children. God, for those who are hurting today, God, for those who feel like the guarantee isn't there, that you would make yourself real to them. God, for those who are in need of your power, God, this week that you would show yourself powerful. Father, for those who need your kindness, God, I pray that you would just extend your hand of kindness to their lives. Father, I pray that you would just be mighty in their lives today, and that you would guarantee and show them your everlasting power. Father, I thank you for your goodness, for your mercy today, Lord. Lord, I pray you just be with each person today as they go out of this place. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name.